KSCU Santa Clara presents Robots Attack. Movies, TV, video games, comic books, tech stuff, news, music. If it is geek, it's on Robots Attack. Participate in the show by commenting on Facebook, tweeting them at Robots Attack Me, emailing the show robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Now, Robots Attack.
That's right. Welcome to Robots Attack here on KSCU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the underground sound. I am Joe, and with me, of course, is
Caleb
and
Jason.
That's right. We're here to rock your Thursday evening yet again.
Yeah.
That's right. We've got a great show. I like that enthusiasm.
Yes.
For the rock.
I'm trying to amp it up here.
Don't go too crazy. Save some energy for the rest of the show.
I'll try and keep a lid on it.
Whoa. Easy. Ooh. Settle down.
Kind of shook in here in the station. That was a lot of rocking. Anyway, we've got a great show for you tonight. In the core, we're going to be talking about Guardians of the Galaxy.
Woo!
I happen to go see it, so we're going to discuss a little bit. We'll try to keep it spoiler-free, so you can still tune in if you have not had the chance to catch it for yourself.
Yes.
And I'll hopefully hit maybe some Comic-Con stuff this week, some things that I can remember. I mean, it's starting to get kind of old now, but, you know, maybe I'll throw some stuff out there.
It's still fresh enough. It's still part of the public geek consciousness right now.
Yeah. And then these two lads went to one of a new exhibit at the Monterey Bay Aquarium.
Mm-hmm. That was a lot of fun.
We'll talk about that in Geek Talk as well. And, of course, the news that we bring to you every Thursday.
Indeed.
But before all of that, we like to give you some new releases. And starting us off in the theater, we've got Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. The city needs heroes. Darkness has settled over New York City as Shredder and his evil Foot Clan have an iron grip on everything from the police to the politicians.
Oh, wow. Dang.
The future is grim until four unlikely outcast brothers rise from the sewers and discover their destiny as Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. If you're not into turtles that happen to be ninjas and mutants and teenagers,
cowabunga, dude.
But you like dancing, maybe you'll like Step Up, All In. In the latest chapter of the Step Up series, that's right, it's a series, all stars from previous installments come together in Las Vegas to battle for a victory that could define their dreams and their careers. Say you don't like dancing or the Ninja Turtles, but you like storms and disasters? Well, you've got Into the Storm. In the span of a single day, the town of Silverton is ravaged by an unprecedented onslaught of tornadoes. The entire town is at the mercy of the erratic and deadly cyclones, even as storm trackers predict the worst is yet to come. Say you don't like storms, you like food movies. Well, there's the 100-foot journey. My little synopsis, because it was really long. A young guy and gal try to find love in this culinary romance movie. Helen Mirren is in it, too. And if you don't like food stuff, but maybe you like documentaries, especially documentaries about the interweb, well, we've got Web Junkie. China is the first country to label internet addiction a clinical disorder. With extraordinary intimacy, Web Junkie investigates a Beijing rehab center where Chinese teenagers are deprogrammed, focusing on three teens, their parents, and the health professionals determined to help them kick their habit.
Dang. Crazy. Well, if you would prefer to enjoy your movies in the comfort of your own home, then perhaps you might be interested in a few of these DVDs or Blu-rays. First, there's Oculus. Oculus, that's right. 10 years ago,
Not the Rift.
Without rifting.
Not the company, the Rift. Okay.
No. It is not a product
only
for
moderate rifting.
Well, I mean, let me just go through and then then you'll know. 10 years ago, Tim and Kaylee witnessed the brutal murder of their parents. Tim was convicted of the crime, but Kaylee believed that something deeper and more sinister took their parents.
She didn't let a rift form between them.
She did not. Well played there.
Nice.
She has tracked down the
There's that rocking.
Yeah.
There's that rocking.
She feels responsible, an antique mirror. Now, will history repeat itself, or will they overcome the darkness beyond the lesser glass? Then there is Divergent on Blu-ray and DVD. In a future where everyone has a place, Triss Prior is dangerous because she has none. No place, that is. As one of the Divergent, she is marked for eradication. But she escapes and discovers she's not alone. She also joins up with a group of other Divergent to stage a rebellion against the world that would abandon them. If you want something a little bit less touchy-feely, perhaps Need for Speed Blu-ray and DVD. When Toby is set up for a crime he didn't commit, he decides to use his knowledge of cars and driving skills to get vengeance. It's a simple plot, and I didn't realize it was a Walt Disney production.
Getting into the video game genre.
Oh, one more before we jump over. The Den. Wait, no, that was from last week. Never mind. That's it.
That's it? Okay.
Okay.
No, apologies. You don't want to bring up The Den again just in case? Was it?
No. Okay. I'm cool, thanks.
So from barring the Den from one video game-based movie kind of, from Disney,
sure.
To actual video games.
Yay!
If you are completely psyched out about any sort of street fighting with numbers behind it, you will probably be interested in Street Fighter 4 now with the Ultra label attached in front of it.
Oh, man.
Yeah. It came out Tuesday. If you're looking for it on PC, you have to wait all the way until Friday, which is a long ways away, I know.
It is.
But it will be there. It's getting pretty solid reviews, so I have to admit, I'm kind of interested too. If you're looking for something less fighting based and a little bit more like brain teasy, you can look up The Swapper. It's basically on every single PlayStation version there is out there that is like current. The entire idea behind the game is kind of nifty. You basically have the ability to clone yourself at will, instantaneously, so it allows you to do all sorts of crazy things to allow you to get through puzzles.
Cool.
Including allowing yourself to die basically as much as you want and save yourself at the last minute by projecting yourself like just a tiny space away, which creates some weird little questions about whether that's right and wrong and whatnot. If you're in a sort of weird place.
If you're in a philosophical mood.
Right. Other than that, we have also the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Go figure. They're trying to make a game to come out with the movie.
So it's not a remake of Out of the Shadows?
No. Not best that I know. It looks like it's... let's see. It actually looks like this was mislabeled, so... But anyway, I'm sure it's coming out. It doesn't say exactly which system.
All of them.
Right. Meanwhile, on Xbox 360, PS3, and PC, Sacred 3 is coming out, or was out this Tuesday. It's basically a Warhammer 40K type of universe, except set in a more action RPG type of setting. Kind of the same sort of idea, like really well-crafted races that have really rich backstories and different ways of doing battle, but they're basically up against creatures that are a little bit more zany than that.
Mm-hmm.
So, and on PS4 and PC, a game that's getting a lot of good buzz called The Road Not Taken. It seems to be a problem-solving game that is procedurally created, but the main thing that caught my eye, and I'm going to try and post it as quickly as possible, is it has a really awesome promotional video that looks like it jumped straight off of Cartoon Network and is pretty full of kind of happening funny stuff.
Looks like fun.
And that's it.
Oh, according to ID at Xbox, Stick It to the Man dropped on Xbox One this week.
Oh, okay.
I remember talking about that one in the past, so it's probably been on other, even though it's been on other systems, but I saw a tweet and was like, Stick It to the Man, available this week on Xbox One, so.
Very cool, there you go.
Don't want to make it sound like nothing's coming out for that system.
So. Right, yeah.
Cool, so does that round us out for that? Should we jump over to comic books then?
Yes.
Alrighty. Well, over in DC Landia, it's Grayson number 2. Mysteries grow as Dick dives deeper into the organization known as Spiral. He also gains more insight into his partner, Helena Bertolini, and that name should sound familiar to those who are fans of the show Arrow. Then across town at Marvel, it's Rocket Raccoon number 2. Not at all influenced by a certain release last week. Notoriety seems to come with problems for Rocket. This has nabbed him a murder warrant? Well, now it's up to him and to the one and only Rocket to help someone with the help of someone from Planet X to get to the bottom of this. Then Dark Horse, it's Usagi Yojimbo, Senso number 1. Set 20 years into the future, Usagi and his friends are in the battle of a lifetime. This will be the deciding, holy crap, is that a rocket ship? Things are about to get very interesting for the lives of our favorite samurai rabbit.
What?
Then from Image, it is not the one I had listed, but I still remember what it was called.
That is good.
Yeah, so it was called, the name is dumped out of my brain. It's immortal.
But like Immortal?
Imperial,
okay.
All right, so the basic premise is you have life is full of hard choices, but rarely is it between the love of your life and becoming the one and only superhero of the world, the Imperial. So, therein lies the conundrum for our hapless hero. And then rounding it out with Oni Press's 6th Gun, Days of the Dead. It's a mini series, so if you've kind of been itching to find out more, get into the series, might be a place to jump in. It's about specifically about Brother Roberto and Jessup, and sort of the struggle that formed these two gentlemen into the beings that we know, into the men that we know today in the Sixth Gun storyline, focusing on an ancient god of the dead that seems to be stirring from its slumber.
Those pesky dead gods.
Or nearly dead gods.
Yeah, always causing trouble. Can't just sit back and relax and talk to the dead.
Nope.
Just gotta wrangle them up.
As everybody needs all excited. To do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So finally, we have now. The last of the new releases. Everyone's favorite, where I get to butcher some names.
Yeah, nice.
The music new releases. All right. We've got a new album from Bear in Heaven called Time is Over 1 Day Old. The 4th full-length release for the Brooklyn rock band was produced by band leader Jean Poulpot. Then we have a new album from Owl John, self-titled Owl John. It's the debut solo release for Frightened Rabbit's Scott Hutchinson, as Owl John was produced by bandmate Adam Monaghan and Olympic swimmers Simon Liddell. And then we have a new album from Spider Bags called Frozen Letter, the 4th full-length release for the North Carolina garage rock band led by Dan McGee, features a guest appearance from Superchunks, Mac McConnon. Then we have a new album from Naomi Punk called Television Man, the 2nd full-length release for the Olympia, Washington garage punk band was self-recorded. And we got Mozart's sister. Whoa, she must be old. the album being, thank you for laughing at that horrible joke. This is the debut full-length release for solo electro pop project of Kyla Thompson Hannett, formerly of Shapes and Sizes. So there you go. A smattering of some new releases. A little bit here, a little bit there.
And we also got a recommendation from the fine folks over at Wow Cool. This they directed me over to a pretty cool site for stuff. And this And then there was one that looks particularly good called How the World Was, A California Childhood. So this is sort of a little more introspective, kind of very independent. It sounds like a trade paperback. So it's a full volume as opposed to an individual 24-page issue.
Nice.
So it's a it's a translation of a French language work. So about this guy kind of talking about like growing up and being
French
and American in the modern age. So
nice. Well, we always love hearing from the cool folks at Wow Cool Comics.
Yes.
So we like. They recommend comics to us to recommend to you out there, our listeners.
Mm-hmm.
And Caleb.
Yes.
Speaking of Wow Cool and them interacting with us, how can folks be like Wow Cool Comics and interact with us?
Well, if you too want to be, you know, involved in the production of this show live on the air, you can.
Why wouldn't you?
Seriously.
It's fun.
It is really fun. You can hit us up on Facebook. You can go to facebook.com/robotsattackshow, or you can find us on Twitter. Our handle is robotsattackme, all one word. And then you can find us on our email address. Hit us up at our email address, which is robotsattackshow@gmail.com. And finally, the one place to rule it all, you just want to remember one thing and just go with that. robotsattack.me. Links back to everything else we described and has an email form on there if you so desire. Plus, you can find archive episodes of all of our awesome shows.
It's easy. Mm-hmm. Simple. All the cool kids are doing it.
Yes. So robotsattack.me, definitely.
That's right. So be like the cool kids and participate on the show.
Yes. Yeah. Big thumbs up.
Yes.
Want to listen to KSU even when you're not near a radio?
Do I?
Stream us whenever you want at www.ksu.org or on the TuneIn radio app or website, and never be without the underground sound.
And of course, the recommendation for the TuneIn radio app and others like it that we always like to give
is when you search for our station, search for our call letters, KSU, because those are distinct and individual to us alone.
Yes.
Not our frequency. 103.3 will get you many interesting hits, but it'll take a while to filter down to us. But if you KSCU, yes. Direct hit.
You'll get us and all the other shows on the station. All right. That's going to do it for new releases. We're going to take a music break and then come back with the news. Let's tease the folks some news. We're going to give them, keep them on the edge of their seat.
Well, let's see. I had this thing open a moment ago.
we always tease the news.
I know.
I'm just teasing you about teasing the news.
Oh, man. I'm sure. I think I have a good astronomy story in here.
Okay. I'll go with one. Robots that can see through walls when their powers combine.
Oh, what? Combining robot powers and seeing through walls. Yeah. I'm intrigued.
Yeah. I knew you would be.
I am. Genuinely, I am. Anyway. So,
does that mean that one forms with a head so that they can see?
We'll have to wait and find out.
You're
going
to have to tune and then see.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good question. Maybe it'll get answered after the music break.
Or maybe it won't.
Or maybe it won't. I'm still genuinely excited to find out either way. All right, let's get to that music. I'm going to play the Black Keys, a track called Gotta Get Away from the album Turn Blue here on KSU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the underground sound. We'll be right back with more Robots Attack. San Jose Animal Advocates, are you an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes but have limited time to volunteer? Join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving foster and forever homes for pets in our local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks, and you can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join them at sjanimaladvocates.org or look for them on Facebook. All right, welcome back to Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the underground sound. You just heard Nicky Knack, the track Find a New Way from the album Tune Yards.
And I was expecting you to rhyme like one or two more words with that, but that was pretty good.
Oh, okay. Next time. And then starting us off was the Black Keys with Gotta Get Away from the album Turn Blue. All right, I think we are now in.
News.
That's right, we are in the news.
And, well, here's a somewhat... It wasn't quite the story I remembered having before, but it's okay. It's still relates to interstellar things, so I'll go with that.
The movie?
Not the movie, but it is still about space. It's kind of a neat little human interest story. The creator of Rocket Raccoon in 92 met with a most untimely accident where he was struck by a car and left comatose for quite a while. And it has suffered irreparable brain damage as a result of the event, and is continues to be under full time care.
It's not good.
No, but you know, the creator, whose name is Bill Mantlo, Mantlo, Mantlo. I'll go with that. He was allowed a private, exclusive screening of Guardians of the Galaxy before anybody else got a chance to see it. And
oh, nice.
Yeah. So, and he is, you know, his name is specifically credited in the credits. It's in pretty bold text. If you're looking for it, you'll see it.
Nice.
And apparently part of the deal with buying the character. Buying the character, the rights to the character from Mr. Mantlo, was a donation towards his medical fund. So,
oh, okay,
that's kind of cool. So it's kind of nice to see Marvel learning from some of the rather black eye they have gotten with their handling of the Jack Kirby estate. You know, and they're now. You know, seems like they're doing more to be better about treating the creators of the properties, which are now earning them millions and millions of dollars, to, you know, helping them continue their lives in a manner which is not completely uncomfortable. So,
nice.
I thought that was kind of cool.
Okay, next up we have quite possibly your worst nightmare: robots that can see through walls.
Beep.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
It's not going to look like the most scary robot in the world when you first look at it. It's basically a little four-wheel robot with a giant antenna on top of it.
Okay.
But when you pair two of them up, it's kind of nifty because all they use is a plain old typical Wi-Fi signal to bounce back and forth between the two of them. They walk around an environment, and they can actually see through the walls of the environment that they're, well, not walking around, rolling around.
What?
Just by monitoring how the Wi-Fi signal changes as they're driving around.
So by Wi-Fi signal attenuation, they are able to see through the walls?
Exactly.
That?
Whoa.
Like... Wow.
it's basically just a top-down map of things at this point, but it's a very good proof of concept.
Seriously.
And so it'll be really interesting to see where it ends up going from here. Right now, it's credited to a Dr. Yasmin Mostofi. I hope I pronounce that somewhere in the ballpark. University of California, Santa Barbara. But yeah, looks like pretty neat stuff. For a future, and the future of Wi-Fi.
Yeah, Wi-Fi. It's better. It's good. It's good for things beyond just spreading the internet around,
right?
Which is already pretty awesome. Let's be honest.
It's not bad. It's not bad. I'll take it.
Okay, so robots that can see through the walls to Lego.
Right? Legos that can see through walls?
Not quite.
No, okay.
But...
I thought I had it.
The female scientist Lego figures...
Oh, right, right.
Are finally created due to fan demand.
And they're already on, like, massive back order.
It's like there's demand for these figures. Yeah. I don't understand. Shocking. I don't understand.
It's so weird.
It's like girls play with Legos.
I don't know if I believe it. Little girls who aspire to do cool things in their adulthoods, most little girls will now see more of those desires reflected in their Lego characters.
Yay.
Lego has created a new kit called the Research Institute, which features female figures working in fields like paleontology, astronomy, and chemistry. According to the official Lego store, the kit was the brainchild of geoscientist Ellen Kugelman and selected by members of Lego Ideas, an initiative allowing creators to vote on each other's ideas for new sets. The set also comes in wake of the highly publicized letter written to the toy company by 7-year-old Charlotte Benjamin, who was distressed at the lack of variety in the female Lego character sets. Quote, "All the girls did was sit at home, go to the beach, and shop, and they had no jobs," Charlotte wrote to the company. "But the boys went on adventures, worked, saved people, and had jobs, even swam with sharks." Lego toys, Lego toys used to be gender neutral, but in 2011 introduced a pink hued range tailored specifically for girls.
So. I've seen those on the shelves and they look insipid.
Man, the hatred in your eyes. I could see fires like burning.
And I'm not sure which would scare
them
from more,
your soul.
Like the robots that could see through the walls. Because what he's doing in there is private.
That didn't even faze him. That didn't even faze him at all compared to this, compared to insipidness.
You heard it here first from Caleb. So there you go, girls. You got some Legos coming.
Yay.
Yeah, I actually was planning on trying to grab them because they're just kind of nifty to begin with. And they have one of the coolest little like Lego dinosaur fossils too.
Yeah.
And if you look closely, it's like really basic Legos that you would have never guessed would make such a cool.
Yeah. Yeah. The article has a picture. We'll throw it up on our Facebook and Twitter. Like we do all of our stories since many of our stories come with cool videos or pictures. And since you can't see those things over the radio waves,
being it's an auditory medium as opposed to a visual medium. Yeah.
Yeah. You can go back when you've got a chance, when you're not driving or when you're not near a computer.
Mm-hmm.
You can go back and check them out.
Or you're not driving or something like that. Would be dangerous to be doing the internet while doing something else kind of thing.
Yeah, don't do that.
Yeah. Don't mess with the internet while you're doing other things.
It will hurt you.
It's ill-advised, to be sure.
And speaking of things that will hurt you,
Well, it's sort of sad, but still, but maybe not hurt. The Studio Ghibli is taking a hiatus. A hiatus. They're taking a break.
Okay.
With the retirement of their lead visionary, aka Hayao Miyazaki, they're wanting to figure out who they are in light of that, because they're a very talented team of animators. If you watch,
they still exist.
The company still exists.
Okay,
they aren't shuttering the name or closing down. They need a little time to figure out who they're going to be in light of the fact that their founder is retired. And they still want to remain an animation company. They still are enthusiastic and passionate about their chosen art form, but they're just trying to figure out what does that look like. I mean, it's sort of like what Pixar is doing right now, where they took a year off, going, we need to figure out what Pixar looks like now that we've kind of completed like the first major round of like good ideas from Pixar. It's like,
right,
where do we go from here? We've
once you finish Planes 2, where do you go from there?
They didn't do Planes. Okay. Planes is in the Walt Disney production.
Oh, okay.
Maybe rewind. Now use Cars.
Cars 2.
There you go. Yeah, Cars 2 is kind of a low point. It's sad on one hand because it means we won't be seeing anything from them for a little bit, but at the same time, if they are able to come out of it stronger on the far side, I think that's totally awesome, and I wish them all the best because they still do really good work. Even if Hayao is no longer leading the charge.
Yeah, I'm just kind of surprised. It seems like they usually, there's a fairly normal structure over there of, and it's going to sound totally like dark side here, but there's like master and apprentice usually.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm kind of surprised that there's not a natural like person to step up in his wake.
I think they were grooming his son, I think, for a while to do that, but the movies that he directed were not very good.
Okay.
Like
which, what were they?
Tale of Earthsea, okay. was the one that I remember. I can't remember what the other one was now, but that movie was just, the plot was all over the place. Like there was just giant gaps where you move forward only because the movie is not over yet, as opposed to like logical conclusions from one to the other. And it's
okay.
It's a very, very strange movie. And whoever did the audio engineering on that movie needs to be hurt, because man,
Caleb's full of rage tonight.
It was hard, because like all of the quiet parts were really, really quiet. You just sounded like this, and then like, wow, what the heck? I can't hear anything. So you turn it up, and then action kicks in, and sound effects are booming through your speaker, and you're running to close it, turn it back down, and then they go right back to quiet. And you're like, oh my god, there's just somebody to normalize that track on something that was human listenable. It was, ugh.
Okay.
Couldn't take it.
Okay.
And William Dafoe, like, was already kind of a low talker, and they made him, like, even quieter for the film, and was like, I can't hear you.
Dafoe.
Speak up and enunciate.
You don't tell the Green Goblin what to do.
Right. You don't tell the Green Goblin to enunciate.
See, but the Green Goblin was audible. You could actually hear
not Raimi's Green Goblin.
Yeah, so there's that.
Okay. Well, we go from there to a robot that uses the power of origami to assemble itself in under 5 minutes.
Wait, what? The robot assembles itself?
Yeah, using the power of origami. It's not like a magical power or
anything. Oh, okay. Like, wow. Well, the power of paper, I form robotics.
It's
praise me.
That was the robot.
Yes.
Yeah.
You hear his voice.
It's kind of exactly how it sounds. It's a robot that's made out of a fairly flat piece of material, but using some pretty nifty tactics for actually being able to fold itself in certain ways, it is able to make itself into a stronger structure and get up and walk around because of it. And so, it watching this thing, it literally looks kind of like an origami thing trying to fold itself and make itself into something that moves, except with two little engines on it. But
it's got
other
motors.
Than that, yeah, it still needs motors at this point. But once they figure out flat motors, man, it's on. It's going to be completely 100% origami.
Well, they're working on materials that have memory in them. So, like, I wonder if that
I think that's already how they're doing the folding trick. So,
okay.
Yeah. But, yeah, it sounds like it's a semi-permanent folding that it uses. So I'm not sure how it ends up folding back or if it does.
Mm-hmm.
But it definitely has some pretty good uses in the future for being able to do search and rescue type of activities, just because if you can throw a really flat robot through a small opening and have it just pop itself in something that's pretty serviceable.
That's, yeah.
It's a pretty nice trick for that.
Very cool.
I think so, too. You can see little kids throwing robots around.
Right.
Put yourself together.
That's what's going to cause the robot revolt. We don't like being thrown around.
They're going to start throwing little kid babies around.
Right.
Like,
put yourself back together, baby.
Right. Why don't you get the power of origami on your side?
Why aren't you moving, baby? Put yourself back together. Anyway. So
it's a little dark.
Well, it sort of segues into my story about Batman.
Okay. Okay. It's
so
a little dark.
Specifically, yeah. The new Batman versus Superman Dawn of Justice.
Uh-huh.
There's been a new video from the set of Batman versus Superman Dawn of Justice. It reveals a gray-haired Ben Affleck as billionaire Bruce Wayne, confirming Zack Snyder's promise that his version of Batman will be an older, seasoned superhero veteran. The video from the set features the rubble of a Wayne financial building in Superman's hometown of Metropolis. One would assume that the film could take place right after the events of Man of Steel, with the rubble being a direct result from the battle with Zod.
Okay.
We all remember.
Yeah. Hard to forget.
Yeah. Additionally, Badass Digest, not Latino Review.
Whoa. Oh,
I know.
Whoa. They got scooped?
They got, maybe, or maybe Badass Digest got this from Latino. Who knows? But
right. They stole it.
Yeah. It purports to have some new details about the extent of this Batman's experience as a superhero. Quote, my sources indicate that when Batman vs. Superman opens, Batman has existed for close to 30 years, which would place Wayne in his 50s. In this version, Batman is still an urban legend, a creature of the night, and no one has ever taken his picture. But he's had plenty of adventures, and the Batcave includes a memorial centered around a tattered Robin costume. The site goes on to describe the distinction between Affleck and Christian Bale's version of Batman, saying how Affleck plays a quieter operator, not involved in blockbuster battles, but in all sorts of badass vigilanteism.
Mm-hmm.
So they're kind of going not so much the big spectacles that Christian Bale's Batman got involved in. But
they're taking the lonely highway instead of the turnpike. I don't know.
Yeah. So there you go. There's a little more information from Batman versus Superman. I'm sure as it gets closer and closer to the release date, we'll get more and more information. They teased a little bit at Comic-Con and then, you know.
They do love to tease.
Yes. I'm sure we'll probably get more at next year's Comic-Con as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, probably.
But yes. Before you get to your next story,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell the folks that they are listening to Robots Attack here on KSCU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, The Underground Sound, just in case they're like flipping through the dials and like, whoa, who are these awesome fellows here?
Now you
what
know.
Is this station? Mm-hmm. I need to keep it here. Put it into my pre-dialed settings.
Right.
There you go, KSCU Santa Clara.
Write a note to myself.
Write a note. Unless you're driving, don't write a note. Unless maybe you're at a stoplight, do it quickly. But and just, you know, memorize 103.3 FM, KSCU Santa Clara. There you go, Robots Attack.
Take advantage of the voice commands in your phones these days.
There you go.
Google Now or Siri, you know, something, however you.
Whatever.
We have a very mobile audience.
It's true.
We need to make sure that they understand this.
And speaking of things that they understand.
Yes, well, things we understand Monopoly.
Oh.
And we understand the Land
game.
Of Hyrule.
Oh, okay.
And we will further understand them in one place and one time when we get our hands on Zelda. Legend of Zelda themed Monopoly.
What?
Man.
Coming out September 15th. While it's based in the realms of Hyrule, it is still distinctly Monopoly, but it's like so many other themed monopolies, you know, it's
do
gonna
not pass the Ocarina of Time or something like that.
There's still a lot of that. The main thing that's changing, obviously, are the names of the locations. You know, there's, gonna be the Lost Woods and stuff like that.
Okay.
If
Lost Woods wasn't there, I mean, that would be a problem, I'd assume. Because that's a big one, right?
There'd be riots in the streets.
Right. Yes. Yeah. And if there weren't, I'd try and start one. I would lead that revolt.
Mm-hmm. Chance cards are going to be called empty bottles. The houses are Deku sprouts, and the hotels are whole Deku trees. And the money, naturally, they're rupees. The real cool thing that I think is that I'm looking forward to seeing is the new game pieces, which are going to be the bow, the hookshot, the boomerang, Triforce, Hyrulean shield, and if you happen to pre-order, you get an Ocarina of Time as one of your pieces.
Wow.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
No old Mercedes or top hat?
No, no, not so much in this one.
What about a Link hat? It should have that at least.
Yeah, that would be pretty cool too. But it would look...
Would it be weird without his face.
Yeah, and would it be like the flopped version, or if it stood up, it would just be a cone, so...
Flop.
Yeah, you definitely... You don't want it unflopped. That would be... Yeah, I would be wrong. So... Speaking of things that are
wrong,
not wrong. Okay, more details are emerging of the new service that EA is trying to put together called EA Access,
which I talked about last week.
Yes, which is why I'm talking about it now.
Nice, nice.
Basically, there was a lot of speculation. Well, okay, so you spend a certain amount of money per month to get a number of games, but who knows what those games are going to be and how many games they're going to have on the service at a time. Well, it's been confirmed by the COO, Peter Moore, that it's going to be treated as a vault, that every time they add stuff, it stays there. So
that's kinda
the
cool.
Entire
nice.
Collection is going to grow and grow and grow, and nothing ever disappears, supposedly. He also tried to lay to rest the speculation that it's going to be filled with games that are less than AAA status, which is debatable about one of the current games, Battlefield 4. I don't know if it maintains a AAA status at this point or not, but it was definitely produced as a AAA game. So, apparently, he is standing up and saying that it's going to have a wide range of games, including AAAs, and that's basically the end of it.
And right now, it's still in beta.
Right.
And, you know, I don't think they've given an exact release date for the general public.
I don't think they have yet, no.
But I know if you're...
I think it is probably going to be relatively soon.
Yeah. Yeah, especially since because they mention a few games that they'll eventually add to it, and they're ones that are coming out, like, this year.
Yeah.
So you'd assume, since they're pushing that, get to play a trial version or something, like, 5 days before the game. So figure at some point this year, you know, it'll drop. But
yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I'm actually pretty excited about this. I didn't figure... a membership type system like this would be anything that I'd ever be interested in, but it's a respectable price in my view.
Yeah, it seems like a good deal all around, and the opportunity to get better as more games come out
will make it that much more difficult to give up the amount per month.
Yeah. So we move from EA to...
BA.
Well, okay, there's...
PA?
Snow...
IPAs?
Battlefield 4 uses Frostbite.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And Frost, you know, you think of cold and snow and all that. So, Frozen director Jennifer Lee to adapt A Wrinkle in Time for Disney.
Hey. Well done, sir.
Well done.
Well done.
Oscar-winning writer-director Jennifer Lee... Frozen, Wreck-It Ralph, I did not know that, is said to pen the film adaption of the 1962, young adult / sci-fi book, A Wrinkle in Time for Disney. According to Variety, Lee reportedly impressed Disney execs with her pitch for the project, which follows a strong female-driven narrative and a unique approach to the story's science fiction and world-building themes. The A Wrinkle in Time film adaption, which was first announced in 2010, with then-screenwriter Jeff Stockwell, has yet to find its director. So I've never read this book myself, but I have heard of it being a popular, you know, it being one of the popular science fiction, you know, lists of here's your top 10 science fiction books you should read or something. And usually this one is mentioned on their honorable mention or whatnot. So,
very cool.
So, yeah. Have you?
I did not read that one. Elaine read A Wrinkle in Time, which is the first in the trilogy, and says that one was pretty good. The second one is
so
a little bit...
Okay, so Elaine has read A Wrinkle in Time. That's, yes. That's the one that's...
Yes, A Wrinkle in Time, which is the first one. Okay. So
that's the one that they're... Jennifer Lee is adapting, so... And she, did she like it? Or?
Yeah, she thought the first one was good. Mm-hmm. The, it's I'll be curious to see how they work, because it's a very sort of... from what I can tell from her talking about it, it's sort of like a alternate dimension kind of travel stuff, so...
Okay.
Interesting to see where they take it.
Yeah. Yeah, especially when you deal with older science fiction books, mm-hmm. where... I guess sort of what comes to mind is like, you know, John Carter series, like
mm-hmm.
how long ago those were written, and kind of like bringing them to this stage, maybe having to tweak a few things to,
you know. That this one will probably survive the transition better than John Carter did. But there's always a little bit of challenge. I think one of the things that has going for it though is it's kind of aimed at young adults for the era, so it's kind of like in the Chronicles of Narnia sort of style, where it's aimed at with the younger audience involved in mind, its clarity is usually a little bit stronger than most.
Oh, okay, cool. So I know there's no, I think the article said there's no release date yet mm-hmm. set, but we'll tune in to find out more, I'm sure.
We'll keep an eye on the project.
Yeah. So, any more stories, or?
I have one last one that I want to throw out there, because.
Oh, okay.
Do you have one else?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
All right. Nice.
Since you just finished wrapping up, since we were just recently talking about video games, a study has come out that shows that an hour of video games a day is actually good for kids.
What?
Keeps the doctor away?
Sort of. It, actually,
see you later, Apple.
Yeah.
Get lost.
Unless you're playing a video game on an Apple product, I suppose.
Yeah. But the fruit.
That's a workaround. Yeah.
An apple a day.
We're tired of your vitamins and your small amounts of poison.
Trace amounts, really. An Oxford University did a study of boys and girls between 10 to 15. Over 5,000 kids were tested, and they found that an hour of games actually increased their sociability, increased problem solving skills.
Did it say what sort of games, like at all? Or?
Let me see if I can. I'll get back to you on that. They did say that if you play 3 hours or more, that's when it became a negative.
Oh, okay.
So it's the obsessive gamers, the ones that are sort of kind of socially awkward. It doesn't help them at all to play games. Well, I mean, depending. That came out differently than I intended it.
Rewind. There's no.
If you play 3 hours or more, it starts having negative effects on the kids. But up to three, you was still seeing like positive benefits for this.
Okay.
Higher relaxation, higher happiness.
My future children on an alarm clock.
Yeah. This article doesn't say exactly.
Better chance for them to eat their vegetables.
Right.
Yeah. The article doesn't specify which.
Because I can't imagine in any amount it was probably. I doubt if it was Call of Duty or something like that.
You know, the studies that have been done about people playing Call of Duty, like it improves their hand-eye coordination and reflexes and things like that. So it's not it's not completely useless either, despite the fact that you spend a lot of time cursing at your screen because you died right after spawning.
It helps make you into a safer driver.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And things like that. So for it's just kind of nice to see like a little bit of science being, you know, thrown back at the games are everything that's wrong with the world today, and kids are just
I hate it when people say that about kids. Okay, my final story for this story. Evening. In this portion of the show. Over on change.org, the wonderful site where you can create petitions of all shapes and sizes, somebody created the best petition of all time, in my view. It's one that existed once before, but only garnered about 260 votes, that, from what I've understood. But this one's doing a lot better with, right now, about 85,000 votes or petition signatures. Now, you're probably wondering what the heck this is for. It's to get Weird Al to do the Super Bowl halftime show.
Yes!
So the pitch is pretty good. It actually points out that since the Super Bowl halftime show tends to be a multi-artist type of deal, Weird Al is actually the perfect focal point, because you can end up having it be all of that different actual artists that he does songs sort of with and about. That actually join him in the songs, which
would be kind of rad.
Yeah, I would pay large amounts to see Pharrell like dancing around singing Tacky.
Yeah, seriously, that would be awesome.
Do you know, is there a deadline that they need to hit? Or
in a weird sort of way, it's one of those things where the points don't matter, but hopefully the NFL takes notice type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't see an actual deadline for it. I think it's just in a state of trying to gather support. But since earlier today, it's jumped from 50,000 to 85,000 roughly. So that's pretty good. Hopefully it keeps that pace up.
Yeah. Because I would definitely want to see that. It'd be a better halftime show than most of the halftime shows that have been coming up in a while.
Right. Plus pretty passionate fans that wouldn't normally be paying attention to that sort of experience, I'm guessing. So
that's true. Yeah. Might get a few more viewers. Check out those commercials and whatnot to see Weird Al.
Mm-hmm.
If you would like to break out of the box.
I'm getting out of this box.
You got to break out of it. It's sponsored by the City of Santa Clara's Cultural Commission. Breaking Out of the Box art exhibition opened April 17th of this year. Exhibition juried by members of the Cultural Commission and staff from the Triton Museum of Art fills the corridors of City Hall with a wide variety of beautiful and thought-provoking sculptures. Admission is free, and the Triton Museum of Art is conveniently located across the street. So I'm assuming they're meaning across the street from said building here. Yeah. Probably not across the street from where you are, listener. Unless you happen to be listening in the Benson Building here at Santa Clara University. Stop by and enjoy lovely works of art by some of the finest artists in Northern California. For more information and operating hours, call 408-615-2210. All right, so I think that's gonna wrap it up for the news.
Yeah, I'm done. I'm spent.
Yeah. That was a lot of good.
You rocked it.
Mm-hmm. I did.
You rocked it. So, but there's still more of the show to rock. So hopefully you still got some of the tank.
I'll try and partition off a certain percentage. Like 60% of my rocking.
Well, I'm gonna leave that up to you.
I'm just gonna do 30 then.
Okay. Uh-oh.
I gotta save some rocking.
That's true. You don't want to spend it all tonight.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Save some for the rest of the week.
Indeed.
That's right.
Can't deny everybody else.
But that's still a large portion of my rocking that I'm expending for this audience. But and you're welcome.
They love you for doing that.
Yes, I know they
and
do.
And Caleb, how can they tell Jason that they love him for doing that?
Well, if you want to let Jason know, you can send him a message on Facebook through our page.
Not directly.
Robots, which is facebook.com/robotsattackshow. Or you can ping us on Twitter. We are twitter.com/robotsattackme. And you always can send us email, robotsattackshow@gmail.com. And finally, there is the one place for all things Robots Attack, robotsattack.me.
That's right. All right. We're going to take another music break and then come back with Geek Talk, where the gents are going to talk about going to the Monterey Bay Aquarium. And I'll probably throw out some little things from Comic-Con that hopefully I can remember that will hopefully be amusing. So
it'll be a square off.
Yeah.
Comic-Con versus Aquarium.
Who will win tentacle action? Cthulhu and regular tentacles and stuff. Anyway, let's get to that musical break here on KACU Santa Clara. 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound. More Robots Attack right after this. Ticket giveaways. Do you want free tickets to a concert? KACU has got you covered. Just listen in and you could win. To see which shows we're giving away tickets for, go to KACU.org and click on promotions.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at Robots Attack Me. Email them at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at robotsattack.me.
That's right. Welcome back to Robots Attack here on KACU Santa Clara. 103.3 from the Underground Sound. We're in Geek Talk. This is where we kick back, talk about some stuff that we have done, have played, have watched, all that sort of stuff. So
it may or may not be geeky.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
But we do it anyway.
Yeah, it's fun.
It's fun. So, gents.
Yes.
I would like to hear about your adventure at Monterey Bay Aquarium.
Mm. It's... Well, first of all, if you haven't been to the aquarium, I highly recommend it. And if you're in the area, definitely go. The thing they're doing right now is a special exhibit about cephalopods. So that covers actually a pretty wide range of animals, bigger than I was expecting, honestly.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Like octopus is the most octopus and squid. Common.
Those
That's
are
the
very cephalo.
Those are the most well known cephalopods. But the nautilus also counts as cephalopod. As does the cuttlefish. For whatever reason, I didn't think that the cuttlefish was included in there. Because
it has the word fish in it.
That might be it. And I was completely thrown off by the nautilus. I'm like, what? I just thought the nautilus was a nautilus. I didn't know it had... It was into its own... It's like platypus. What's a platypus? It's a platypus. Right. Nautilus. What is it? It's a nautilus. Although they were...
It is the only shelled cephalopod I learned from a sign that was there.
Nice.
Yeah.
See, you learned
already
stuff.
Already learning. And it has a ridge on its head that looks like a Krogan.
It does.
Take a shot.
One of the other things I thought was interesting about, especially about the Nautilus, was that there's speculation that its shell is actually a holdover from a snail common ancestor, or a common ancestor with a snail.
Oh, okay.
It's like, huh. I can kind of see how that starts to connect back together again. It's a very long connection, obviously, but there you go.
Yeah. They threw me off probably the most just because walked up to this very nice presentation of all of the nautili. Mm-hmm. I don't know how you pluralize that.
Look at all the nautilus. Okay. I think nautilus.
I'm going to go with nautils. I like nautils. That. Yeah. I walk up to the case of nautils, and I'm thinking to myself, man, these guys look, are they all like freeze-dried or something? Because they're just sitting there like absolutely doing nothing. Mm-hmm. And out of the blue, they all decide to start shaking all at once, like rocking like they have some sort of stress disorder or something like that. And then some of them start moving around. It was like... It just felt really weird. It's like they had this idea that they needed to be moving specifically this moment for whatever reason.
Yeah, they were pretty active. They were like, I think they were the most active.
By the time you got there, because you were slow.
Whatever. only because you take much longer strides than all the rest of us.
Is that a tall joke?
It's a statement.
That's tallism.
It's a statement about your height. It's not a tallism.
Okay.
But yeah, it was the exhibit's actually really interesting. The cuttlefish where I was like, I could watch this all day, like, because they're just like phenomenally strange looking creatures, but they're very cool.
Cuddle-eye.
Yes, the cuddles.
is that the little video that Elaine put up?
Yes,
where like skittering across.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah.
They're like
cool.
Little underwater helicopters.
Mm-hmm. And. Beyond that, they are something that I didn't realize was like a trait of all cephalopods was that they can change the color of their skin at will. Apparently, that's one of the different extents. Yeah, different extents. But
the cuttlefish is like the
pretty impressive.
Yeah,
the cuttlefish and the mimic octopus were like I think the two like best known for their color changing. But the mimic octopus for obvious reasons.
Yeah,
but the, just like watching the cuttlefish like shift in and out of like their little enclosure around their little enclosures is like they're just changing colors, just like willy nilly. I could watch this all day. It's amazing.
And I don't need to be high.
Yeah.
Right. And what, okay, what was the little tiny one I always...
The flamboyant.
Ooh.
Cuttlefish. That thing was...
My favorite.
It was really cool.
How tiny was it compared? I mean, was it...
So like...
I don't know if they're supposed to be like that size or if it's...
Like the regular cuttlefish was like, you know, about a hand's breadth, about 8 inches or so.
Okay.
About that, your hand's size.
Quiet tolly. Whereas the flamboyant cuttlefish was like not much bigger than your thumb in terms of length.
Oh, okay.
He's a bit broader, like maybe like, you know, 2 or 3 fingers together, but like he's little. He looks almost like a aquatic bumblebee. Like really wide back end with like the cuttlefish, like they have a fin that goes around their whole backside.
Okay.
And his is really, really narrow. So it's like a little bumblebee wing. I imagined like little buzzing noises as he like shifted around his spot.
The best part to me though is they don't have a conventional layout of tentacles on the front. Mm-hmm. They have like some weird broad tentacles that kind of point downward. And they kind of walk along the bottom with those. So it ends up looking like a little cartoon elephant, like walking around. That was probably my favorite part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was pretty cool. And like watching it like sort of slide sideways, like its rear end drifting off with its little wings. And then
It's like an elephant on a dolly or something like that.
Like you put a furniture dolly under its rear feet and then it walks around on the front feet. And that's kind of what it looks like. It was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
That's cool. Is there a time frame for this exhibit, or
I believe there is. I'll have to look that up real quick.
Oh, okay.
You must go now, otherwise it will disappear. Tomorrow. You must go tomorrow or this weekend.
Soon. I recommend soon. I know it's one of their limited time things. So sooner would be better. But let me just.
It is scheduled for the next 3 years.
Well, you've got 3 years,
so right?
Better late than never.
If it is 3 years, don't consider that your license to procrastinate.
It's true.
Because we don't give licenses.
See them now while they're fresh and excited and peppy and
They get old and set in their ways.
The page doesn't say.
Oh, okay.
Unfortunately. Oh.
But you gents recommend it. And
yes.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, the name of the exhibit, oddly enough, is called Tentacles.
I believe it's pronounced Tentacles.
Tentacles.
It's fun. They also like kind of show the cultural impact of the cephalopod. Like, like how it's like been part of like the mind share of humanity for quite some time. Yeah. Also a tribute to how old the creature is as a species.
Mm. Ancient cephalopod art.
Mm-hmm. And very modern cephalopod art. And it was really interesting.
Cool. Yeah, sounds cool. I'd like to check it out. I think too, there was a picture. Did they have like stuff outside in the building? Like,
yes. Yeah. Kind they of have set up for some, it? Okay. Some giant inflatable tentacles on top of aquarium.
Yeah. I was sort of lamenting that it wasn't like a windier day, because if it was, they would act kind of like those things that they put outside of car washes.
Oh, okay.
That are like flopping around.
Yeah.
But yeah. Unfortunately, no. It was calm and nice. So.
But maybe when you go...
Mm-hmm.
It'll be windy.
Maybe.
Perhaps.
Nice.
And I'll be jealous.
You'll just have to go back.
Right.
Take pictures or...
check something. Your forecast first.
Yeah. It's not windy. We're not going. As Jason said on Robots Attack, it's got to be windy to get the full effect.
Right. Or at least he recommends that.
Cool. Sounds good.
Mm-hmm. It was.
It was a lot of fun.
Now, what about Comic-Con? Does that stack up at all?
Well,
I don't see how it could.
Yeah, there wasn't. It's going to be tough.
Okay.
But yeah, I
did they have tentacles?
I'm sure there were tentacles somewhere.
Okay. You found none? I'm sure, yes.
I
can almost guarantee you there was some tentacles there.
Yeah. Right. I personally did not see any, but the con is so huge, I did not see everything. So
right.
There's a good chance that somewhere within the con.
It's impossible to be omnipresent at Comic-Con.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think I did the right omni on there.
Yes, so. I believe so.
Our listeners will let us know.
Right.
But yeah, I had a good time. I would say I enjoyed this year a little better than last year.
Really?
Because last year I tried to get into like the big rooms.
Oh, okay.
And since now you kind of have to camp out or get there extremely early.
Uh-huh, right.
I looked at the schedule and went, well, I'd like to see some of those things, but I really don't want to camp out.
Right, right.
And there's so much other stuff. I just went, screw it. I'm going to hit these other things and just, you know.
Enjoy the experience of con as opposed to the panels of con?
Well, as opposed to the line of con.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The lines of con, just waiting in line and not even getting a chance to get in. Now, this year they did do...
The line ride.
Yeah. They did try something different. They're tested out with Hall H, which is their biggest area. They had these wristbands and they were alphabetized. I think up to C, and if they weren't like if you got a wristband, it didn't guarantee that you get in, but it was a pretty good chance that, like, if you got one, you're probably going to get in. Maybe not like the first panel, if like because they do it for the very first panel of the day. They go out and they hand them out, and then it kind of gives you an idea of where you are in the line. So like if you didn't get a wristband, you're like, well. If I'm trying to shoot for this first panel, there might be a good chance that I'm not getting in. But, you know, it's just they're trying ways to thin out the crowd and help people, like, not just waste hours and hours in line and not get anything out of it.
Get a little bit of random fun in there, too.
Yeah. And then Ballroom 20, which is, like, the second biggest there.
Right.
They did something similar, but they were just these cards.
Okay.
And they would hand them out to the first panel.
Okay.
And how... The first sort of story that I'll tie in actually ties into water.
Ooh, that's very cephalopodic.
So, yeah.
Right.
So the first panel where I got one of the cards was I was actually trying to get into Legend of Korra. But the first panel before that was the Big Bang Theory writers panel. So it was all the writers. Okay. Now, I've caught an episode here and there, but I'm not... super familiar with the show. Right. So it's like, well, okay, this will be fine. Like if I get in, I can sit through this and just, you know, get my seat and get ready for Korra, which is going to come on right after.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
So while I was there, it actually turned out to be like surprisingly good, even not really knowing terrible much about the show.
Okay.
If you're familiar with Craig Ferguson, he is the moderator. So
nice.
that was cool.
Yeah.
And so
it's a good start.
Yeah. So, from what I've heard on the show, Aquaman is sort of made fun of, I guess.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I've kind of gathered.
It happens.
And stuff. Yeah.
It's pretty
common that he gets.
It happens outside of the show too, pretty often as well.
But so at the end, usually at the end of the panels, they turn it over to questions from the audience. This one, they actually kind of turned it over pretty early. I'm guessing because there weren't any like of the, you know, stars
in
the first show. So they turned it over and a woman came up and she asked like why she comes up. She's actually wearing an Aquaman shirt.
Uh-huh.
And she goes, why is Aquaman get so much hate on the show?
Okay.
And like a couple people, you know, on the panel, they were kind of like, you know, it was kind of quiet. And some were like, oh, you know, haha. Everybody sort of laughed because I guess, you know, they're familiar with that joke with the show.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
Being made fun of. And so then like, I can't remember exactly what some of the writers said, But Craig Ferguson jumped in and he's like, because he's not a real superhero. He's really stupid. You know, blah, blah, blah. Saying all this stuff like really fast, just like knocking Aquaman. The crowd goes nuts, right? And they're just like, oh. And then one of the writers, and I think, which this will be make you love Will Wheaton even more, Jason. Okay. How much you love him. He did end up popping on to the panel.
Oh, okay.
I think he did say like, I actually like Aquaman, and maybe one of the other writers also.
Boo.
But but anyway, when it kind of settled, she went back up to the mic and she said, well, my name is something. I don't remember her name. She says, my grandfather created Aquaman.
Oh.
The whole crowd went, oh! Like, filled the room. Craig Ferguson's like, oh! He, like, knocked back. He walked over to, like, the front of the panel, started bowing down. Bowing down. Like, oh, I'm sorry. And then went over and he's like, Aquaman's wonderful. He's an amazing superhero. He's great. Oh, man. And, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then...
That's pretty good.
Yeah, and he's like, oh, yes, Aquaman, it's so cool. I mean, you know, you could just get on a rock and make him, know all of his powers, but he's so cool, blah, blah, blah. You know, like, he's still, he's still got his little jab in there. But yeah, that was I thought, a funny moment from that. That kind of can tend to happen at Comic-Con. I've noticed the few years that I've gone, like, you'll go into a panel that you're maybe waiting for the next one, and like the one before it, like something kind of little surprising happens, and that can be kind of just a fun experience. Like, I was not expecting, just having not really be familiar with the show, like, well, I'm sure this won't be boring, but like not really getting what I got out of it. Like, that experience was pretty awesome. Just having the whole crowd just go like nuts.
Yeah.
When she said that.
Yeah. that was a pretty good moment.
Yeah. And then I would say, like, because I'm a big fan of Supernatural, I got into the Supernatural panel, and that one was a lot of fun because it was, you know, the two main guys, one of the executive producers, who's, I think, you know, also one of the writers, and then two other characters that I don't think you guys are familiar with those characters yet, because I don't think they've shown up on where you've watched. Okay. Yeah, but they're all there, and they're all like, they're going into like the 10th season. So they've been working for 10 years, you know, like,
it's been a while.
Yeah. And so
that's impressive.
Yeah. They, you know, their chemistry is really well together. So their panel is a lot of fun because they can just bounce off of each other. And so, at the convention, DC television was pretty big. Like, I ended up being able to see like the Gotham premiere.
Okay.
And they showed the Flash premiere, stuff like that, and also Constantine. Yeah. So Constantine had been kind of brought up by a question from the crowd. So they were kind of talking about it because the character sort of looks like one of the other characters kind of on the show, but, you know.
That's, right.
But anyway, so the name Constantine kind of got brought up. Now, the actor Jared Padalecki, who plays Sam, he goes up and he goes, oh, have you heard of the movie Constipation? It's like, it hasn't come out yet. And so, you know, like, he kind of saw, and like, you know, the crowd's kind of laughing a little bit. And right next to him is Jensen Ackles, who plays Dean. And he's like, just deadpan, just like, 10 years. 10 years I've had to deal with that. Still not funny. It's so good. And then I would say also with that panel, there's these toys. They're like pop toys or something, but you know, it's kind of little big heads, like little body kind of guys. They were like everywhere all over the con. Well, Sam and Dean had one, and then the other character, Castiel, who's an angel, he has one. And then the other actor, Crowley, who's basically the king of hell, he didn't have one. So the three of them have it, and he's like, they're at the panel, they're talking, and the actor's name is Mark Shepard. He's looking kind of at it while they're toddling around. He gets up out of his chair and like walks in front, and he's like, puzzled, kind of looking, and then he points like, okay, Dean's, Sam's, Castiel, and then he points as his, and it's the Starbucks cup with like straws stuck into the side and like his little funny head thing on there, and he's like, wait, where's mine? You're like, what is this? And they're like, oh, we felt bad that you didn't have one, so we made you this. And he's like, if you're familiar with the actor's been in a lot of stuff. He was on Battlestar Galactica for a little bit, and Doctor Who. But yeah, Mark Shepard, I believe, is his name. But yeah, so during the panel, he's kind of like just looking at his action figure, quote unquote, while the others are, and like it's sort of posed like the kind of bent to the side and his arms and stuff. So while they're talking, like he'll just sort of randomly go like, like pretend to pose at the action figure. Just, it's like, I can't believe, But so yeah, I mean, that one was a lot of fun for me just because being a fan of the show. And
yeah,
it's nice when the panel, like the chemistry between the people, they keep it fun, and it's not just like, well, yes, you know, we thought really hard about this and we really wanted the emotion, like, you know, keeping it really serious. And then it also helps too when the crowd doesn't ask questions like, so what's going to happen in the next season? Are we going to find out this? Like, come on, they're not going to reveal these things. Why do you continually ask this stuff? It just ruins it.
I'm going to scoop Latino review right here.
Yeah. So yeah, overall, like, They had an Assassin's Creed Unity like parkour like set up that you could go through.
That's cool.
Sort of like American Ninja kind of thing. Like, I think they had the woman who won the American Ninja thing like actually do it or something.
Nice.
Who was there? But yeah, that was going on. I think they had the Walking Dead like run in the Petco Park going on again. There was like a laser tag thing going on there too.
Wow.
I hit up the Xbox Lounge, played a bunch of the games there. Ran into Major Nelson at the airport, but forgot to take a picture, and then Jason doesn't believe me that I ran into him. Let's see.
Pictures didn't happen.
Yeah. And then I got into the Mass Effect panel, take a shot.
Yay!
Which was really cool, but also really disappointing. Because it was like, hey, we're working on the next Mass Effect game. We can't really tell you anything, but we're working on it.
Huh.
Like, the only things we found out were, like, the Mako is making a return, like a new redesign, which eventually came out. Yeah. And then they showed some images of, like, new armor, and they, since it's the team that worked on the multiplayer for Mass Effect 3, they're really focusing on customization for your for your armor, and even your like your casual clothes too, like maybe even be able to take off pieces of your armor.
Okay.
And like the lights on it being customizable, and like your helmet, instead of being like a kind of a blast helmet covering up most of your face, it would be more of like a glass. Not like a what's that Spider-Man villain?
The bowl. Mysterio?
Not that, but it would be like a glass more helmet, so you could see 360 and still see your character's face, since that's like a big thing about the game is customizing your character. But so it was like, it was neat to see those little things, but they couldn't talk about story. They couldn't talk about who, what like alien races you would run into, where the game was taking place. Like, they gave sort of little hints. Like, it sounds like they're pushing more towards the feel of one, like exploration.
Okay.
So maybe kind of going back to that. But yeah, so it was awesome, like getting in there and like, and it was exciting. And they actually had at the beginning of the panel, while they were, because they were having some technical difficulties. I forget her name, but she's the community manager for BioWare, one of the things. And so she was asking just the crowd the questions while they're working out. So it's like, okay, I've got these things to give away. Who's got the best, like, reason why I should do it? And so one person's, you know, stands up, my real name's like Ashley Shepherd, and then another one pops up and he's like, well, I came from Sweden and it's my this and blah blah blah, you know, and stuff. And so we're trying to outdo each other, and then this guy right behind me, he gets up and he goes, I liked the end of Mass Effect 3. And the crowd went nuts, and I turned around and I high-fived him. And she's all, well done, sir. Well done. I don't think he ended up winning, but yeah. There were some honorable boos mention in the crowd, though. Yeah. So we were all boo. Yeah. I was like, whatever, that was good.
Yeah, seriously.
So yeah, there's, you know, tons and tons of stuff to talk about, but you know, a lot of it is like sort of cool thing and sad thing is like a lot of it is you kind of have to be the there.
Experience of it.
It's like, you know, telling like, oh, that this happened. It's like, oh, that sounds cool. But like, it's a lot cooler if you were actually there. Mm-hmm. You know, those kind of moments. But yeah, I seems like it's...
We'll get press passes this year, I'm sure.
So. Hopefully. that's the goal, and try for it. See if we can get Robots Attack, get some press passes, and...
That'd be cool.
Check it out. But yeah, it seems like they let... It's getting bigger and bigger, like more people each year, a little bit more.
Uh-huh.
And I think they're supposed to be expanding on the convention center soon, because mm-hmm. I know they're... I think they have it up till this 2016, mm-hmm. and then they have to renew their deal.
Okay.
And San Diego does not want to lose that.
Yeah.
I know they put out some reports of like how much money they make. Like,
yeah. There's certain
like restaurants I heard that like make enough to cover them the entire year within that little chunk. So they, you know,
I believe
it's, like,
no,
it's like,
that'll
we,
do.
We would like to keep you here. But
yeah.
So
there you go. Very cool. Yeah. I look forward to partaking in one of those eventually.
Yeah, we'll keep trying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
the new system seems to work a little bit better. It's still a random chance, but it's mm-hmm. definitely better than the way
it's
it
more
was.
Satisfying now.
Yeah.
In a weird sort of way.
Yeah. And they've sort of worked out the keeping the site just from outright crashing, like.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, that was just, you know, that was a little bit of my experience at Comic-Con. I'm sure if some other thing, excuse me, if some other things pop in my head, I can mention them later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
sounds good.
But yeah, it looks like we're kind of low on time, so I don't think we'll be able to hit the talk of Guardians of the Galaxy. But, I mean, it just came out, so it'll still be relevant to talk about next week. And... Yeah. That'll give more people time to see it
mm-hmm.
maybe this weekend, and so true. Maybe they can participate in the discussion.
Less spoilers.
Yes. I can say this. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I can recommend it as a movie-going experience. So.
Yeah, that seemed to be the general consensus from people. It's a fun movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So yeah, we'll go into more detail next week, and maybe if we all have the opportunity to maybe see a movie starring some green turtles that know ninja moves that happen mm-hmm. to be teenagers and also mutated.
Perhaps.
Maybe we can talk about that too.
And compare mm-hmm. and contrast.
Yeah.
Sounds like a deal to me.
So, definitely.
All right. So that's going to do it for Robots Attack this week. Thank you for joining us. Caleb, let's tell them one last time. Even though the show's wrapping up,
mm-hmm.
there's still a way that you can participate as well as check out.
Yes.
Previous shows.
That's right. Yes, yeah, so our time is drawing to an end here on the live show, but there's always time to interact with us. You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/robotsattackshow, or you can find us over on Twitter, twitter.com/robotsattackme. And then, of course, there's the old email, robotsattackshow@gmail.com. But if you're like trying to write that all down, just calm. Remember, robotsattack.me. One place to find all things Robots Attack. Links, useful information, past episodes, all of that is there.
Nice and easy. And mm-hmm. yeah, shoot us an email or a tweet or a comment. Let us know what you think of the show. Rate and review it on iTunes. And yeah, got questions. We'd love to maybe even add in a viewer mail segment to the show. Now give us some ideas or discussion mm-hmm. topics, or just ask us these three geeks some questions, and we'll do our best to answer them. But
yes,
we appreciate all of our new and old listeners who have liked and followed us and everything like that. We
mm-hmm. and supported us through the years.
Yes.
We appreciate you.
Yes, we do. And hopefully we'll try our best to make the show as entertaining as possible, and you can help us make it even more by suggesting and liking and all of that jazz.
Indeed,
right.
Indeed.
That's going to do it for this week. We'll be back next week, 6 to 8. Have a awesome weekend, and we will talk to you later.
Yes. Right. Yeah.
Have a good one.
Take care.
Raccoon. Veronica. Mistel.